I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, I just picked up Xenoblade Chronicles. Are you going to pick this game up?
I'm Steven Duncan. Thanks, Norm, for reminding me my Wii's broken.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. Happy Easter and welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. On today's episode, Sega is having a rough financial experience.
We're still talking about Mass Effect 3.
And our main topic, due to the news about Sega, we're going to be talking about our favorite Sega memories. Well, Steven, let's get into our first topic. All kinds of Mass Effect 3 news, so let's go ahead and get it out of the way. There's a new free multiplayer downloadable content that's coming out. And it's going to give you 6 new characters. Also, they are going to fix the ending. They're going to flesh out what happened, but they're not going to change the ending itself. Is this a good thing from BioWare?
I do like the free multiplayer DLC. I think that's awesome. Like, free DLC is always, you know, sweet.
Always.
Yeah, I don't like... I'm glad they're adding new characters, because that's what you want to see in DLC for that type of multiplayer. I don't like that you have to keep unlocking them, but that's just because I don't like the unlock system of the multiplayer. But the ending thing, I'm glad BioWare came out and specifically said we are not changing the core of the ending because we are sticking behind our artistic statement.
Right, they're just going to make it a little more clear for people.
Right, so it's just extra scenes is all it is to explain why somebody was at the ship or something like that.
Okay.
It's definitely not going to change the core of it. The premise of what happened at the end is still there, which is good. If you're going to cave into demands, this is probably the way that I would want it to occur. The artistic statement's still there, but you're just going to expand upon it.
Yeah, I agree. And it definitely shows the power of the internet. Like,
yeah,
just like, if so many people complain about something, a company's going to do something about it. Even if it's dealing with the ending, the ending to a video game.
Yeah, the thing I'm worried about, I've already beat the game, right?
Yeah.
Do I have to beat it again to see all the expanded content, or is there going to be like an option saying, hey, you already beat it, do you want to go check this out?
That's a good question.
Because I don't want to go through the final approach of Mass Effect 3 again. As much as I loved that game, the last battle was infuriating to me. I don't want to do it again.
Well, you got to earn it, buddy.
So, Sega is having a rough financial experience. The company is reporting a large monetary loss, and in response is laying off employees, canceling games, and streamlining their business model. Should we be worried about their future?
I wouldn't be worried about their future. I think this is a good idea. I think Sega kind of needs to scale down the size of their company. Since they're only making software, I think this is a good idea. I'm not worried that they're going to close doors or anything because they have too many franchises and games that are important right now.
Well, the thing that worries me is that they're saying that they're going to stick with key intellectual properties such as Sonic. Now that makes sense.
Sonic. Yeah.
Well, they're going to ride that as long as they can, because even though Sonic hasn't put out a good game in a while, it makes money. People still buy it.
Well, hey, now Sonic Generations was okay.
Yeah. I didn't play it, but it didn't urge me to play it, if that makes any sense.
You didn't see a preview and you were like, oh my god, I have to try this.
Right.
Yeah.
But what worries me is, you know, they're saying we're going to stick to our key intellectual properties. That bugs me a little bit because I like to see companies step out of the box every now and again and work on new intellectual properties. Because, you know, if we're going to stick with the same intellectual properties, then the industry is going to stagnate artistically. And we're just going to get the same games over and over and over again, same storylines over and over and over again, same characters over and over and over again. It just becomes boring.
I'd like to see Sega revisit some of their older properties, particularly some of their RPGs. Like, when's the last Phantasy Star game that came out?
Shining Force, I think, had something on the DS. And then Phantasy Star has been doing that Phantasy Star Online bullcrap.
Yeah. I think you're right. They need to kind of try something new because this Sonic thing ain't working for me.
No.
Well, rumors are suggesting that the Wii U will not be as graphically powerful as the 360 or PS3. Surprise, surprise. Nintendo didn't confirm or deny the report, saying the system isn't about power. It's about the experience. Will Nintendo be fine with another graphically challenged system?
Their response to the report, them neither confirming nor denying it, and then telling you that it's about the gameplay and not about the graphical power, to me, that's them saying, yeah, we're going to be putting out another graphically subpar system. That's what I'm reading out of it.
Yep, kind of just confirming it there.
Yeah, I do think Nintendo, I think it'll be fine. It's just kind of a disappointment.
It is.
Now, I'm not saying that graphics are everything. I'm not saying it has to be like the top-notch thing. But having more graphical power allows your developers to do more with their vision.
Yeah. If they're trying to develop a game and they see it, you know, they're like, okay, we can make it on the new Xbox, the new PlayStation, or the Wii U, and their vision is more clear on, like, the new Xbox because of the limitations of the Wii U. Why are they going to make anything on the Wii U?
Right. And that's the problem. Like, yes, we're playing games. And so gameplay is a big thing. Not, you know, as gamers, we're obviously not discounting that.
Yeah.
But games have moved from more than just, you know, games. They've moved into a artistic medium.
Yeah, this is a good example. Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yes.
Very, very good game. But I always wonder in the back of my head, what would this game be like if it were on the Xbox 360?
Right.
It would look amazing. I mean, it looks amazing for the Wii, but I just imagine how far they could go if it was on a more powerful system.
Yeah, because there are some games that just can't translate well to lower things because the art style is just as much a part of the experience as the gameplay itself.
And I do want to mention, the way to play Xenoblade is with the classic controller. You know, it works better with that. So yeah. You can't say, oh, well, there's motion controls, that's why it's on the Wii. No, I mean, this is a game meant to be played on the classic controller.
Right. So, like I said, they'll be fine. It's just, if this is true, where it's not even as powerful as current-gen systems, and it's going to be competing against next-gen systems, it's a disappointment.
Yes.
Norm, in a weird tale of mashups, Capcom, Sega, and Namco Bandai have teamed up to release a game on the 3DS, a Nintendo system, or up to four companies. There's an odd teaser website, but no official details. Some theories suggest that it's a mega crossover of classic characters. What do you think it'll be?
I have no idea. It might be a fighting game.
Mm.
I mean, mashup games, you know, it probably is a fighting game. Let's see, Namco Bandai, that's Tekken? Tekken. Sega, Virtua Fighter. Capcom, Street Fighter. There you go. It's a giant fighting game.
Have you seen the teaser website?
Yeah.
It looks really, really weird. Almost Atari-ish.
Yeah.
The theory suggests that the colors that are in the logo...
Uh-huh.
...represent characters.
like possible. Each, yeah, I could see
like,
that.
Yeah, like if you see a sky blue, that's Mega Man. Or if you see the red, that's Zero. If you see kind of a an eggshell white, then it's Cosmos. So with Capcom involved, I really think it's going to be a crossover fighting game.
Yeah, if I hear Capcom, I hear fighting game.
Yeah, because they've... and this is really, like... this is Capcom's thing, and they really can't escape this rumor now that they've done the ultimate crossover with Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they paired up with one of their biggest rivals in the fighting game scene to have a collaborative effort. So I can see them doing that. It would be really awesome if it wasn't just classic characters and it was, you know, a new IP.
Well, you know how they've been screwing over Mega Man lately. Maybe they're maybe they're going to do some redemption here.
No.
I doubt it.
No, not with this. Like, if that's what you're saying is, I mean, if, let's go out on the limbiest of limbs.
It's a Mega Man game where you shoot Sonic and Pac-Man.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of the biggest kick in the balls to Mega Man. We can't even give you enough respect to work on you by ourselves, so we're going to bring in other people to bastardize you.
That's right.
It'd be funny, though.
Well, that's it for our first four topics. When we come back, we talk about our Sega memories. We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's time for our memory segment.
Ooh.
I'm going to get in your brain and...
You don't want to do that.
Look around and see what I find.
No. Last person that did that, it didn't turn out well.
Well, I'm specifically looking for memories about Sega. You know, we're talking about Sega's having a rough financial experience, and it just made me think about all the good times I've had with Sega. Or all the bad times I've had with Sega.
I was going to say, how many good times have you had with it?
Probably more bad times than good times. So let's just get into it. Steven, you start off. What are your Sega memories?
I'll start with, because obviously we're talking about a game company, so I just picked like the four game series from Sega that I have experience with.
Okay.
You know, not necessarily, like just something I'm a little bit more attached to. Not necessarily beaten all the way through. And not necessarily like discounting some other series. Like, I'll just let you know, Crazy Taxi is not on my list. No Crazy Taxi. Even though I've played through it, it's just not something that attached to me, and it's not something that resonated with me. So I got four games that in some way has resonated with me. The first one is Resonance of Fate.
Okay.
Resonance of Fate usually comes up in RPG circles. Because, you know, everybody says, well, what's a good RPG I can get for the 360? Resonance of Fate usually comes up. And I bought this game, like, it was really silly because I was looking for an RPG for the 360, and this game had been out for a while by gaming standards, and it was still full price. And I also got it when money was a little tighter for me. So, like, screw it, I'll take a chance. And the world's, you know, this kind of dreary post-apocalyptic thing that looks, I mean, it's okay, it's fine. The characters, the interaction between them is really cool. You can play dress up with them. I guess that's fun.
Oh, everyone loves that.
Yeah, and the battle system is really unique.
Okay,
but and I mean, like it was okay. But here's the problem I had with it was normally in a game, the difficulty stems from dealing with challenges that the, you know, the enemies bring upon you.
Right.
With Resonance of Fate, the difficulty came from the challenges of the game system itself.
So it had a lot of technical difficulties.
Yeah, like it wasn't glitchy. It wasn't that. It was just a really complicated and difficult system for no reason. And every time, like I even looked on YouTube. Well, let me see if I can find somebody playing this for real. Maybe I'm just schmucking it up. And even after looking at the YouTube, I'm like, I don't see how I could do that. Like, it seemed like the people were using all or nothing attacks. And I don't want that type of system where I either completely succeed or completely fail. It just, that didn't seem fun to me. That's, you know, that's playing a very strategic coin flip.
Yeah.
And it was just, I wasn't the only person in my area that had this problem. There were other people trying to play it as a community. Let's say there were three gamers there. None of them could figure out how to properly use the system. And they just kind of, I mean, there are tutorials, because I know people are going to tell me, well, you should look at the tutorials. I did. Still didn't get it.
So it's just confusing as hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate, because I did want to see where the story was going. I did want to see how the characters developed. But I didn't want to play the game.
Okay.
So that, yeah, very subpar to me.
So what's,
do you have a memory, or should I continue down my list?
Keep going.
Okay. I'm going to have I'll end the list on something a bit more positive.
Okay.
So I'm not completely negative. The next one is also something that gets brought up when you say, what RPG should I get? And it's Skies of Arcadia.
Skies of Arcadia, yeah. I hear that one a lot.
A whole lot. And everybody says that it, I mean, the way people treat it, it sounds like a modern classic. Uh-huh. That it can hold up to a Final Fantasy VI or to a Chrono Trigger.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm telling you how people handle it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
All right.
It can't.
Tell me, and this came out, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, GameCube?
Well, Skies of Arcadia? Came out for the Dreamcast first. Got re-released on the GameCube.
Right, okay.
Okay. It's not, I don't understand why people are praising this. It seems like the characters aren't interesting to me at all. Not enough to hook me. The plot, I think you start running away from somebody. Now, I mean, it has been a while since I've played this game. But you just kind of, you're sky pirates, and all of a sudden you're running away from somebody.
These aren't the best Sega memories, huh?
No, they'll hopefully get better.
They'll get better.
And then gameplay is your typical JRPG. It has some type of modification. I didn't really get it. And because I didn't really get it, I can't really remember it. The problem I had with the game, I was trying to get out of a town or like out of a cave. Somewhere simple, right?
Right.
I couldn't find the damn ladder to get out of the town or the cave, because the graphics were so bland and so like meshed together, I just couldn't find it. I searched for it and searched for it for like 20 minutes, turned the game off, and had to come back to it.
Did you eventually find the ladder?
Yes, I eventually found it. By this point, I'm already pissed off at the game.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah.
So you could say that I rage quitted, but I was just thoroughly unimpressed with this game. Some people will argue, okay, maybe it's a slow starter. Maybe you just have to get into it. And I will tell you, that's garbage. There has to be something at the beginning that hooks me. If it does, you know, if the first 3 to 5 hours doesn't hook me, why am I playing it?
That's a good point. Yeah. And you know, I've always wondered that, like, some RPGs do that, like they put the most boring parts at the beginning of the game.
Right.
And it's like, that's not a good way to start your game off.
Yeah. I think the slowest start that I will accept would be Chrono Trigger, where you're running around in the fair for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but that's fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's whimsical, but I mean, that's that's telling you, like, it. That only, I mean, that's technically a slow start, but it only lasted 20 minutes, and then it got straight into it.
Yeah.
So, if someone tells you Skies of Arcadia is a modern classic, I vehemently disagree.
Okay, well, let's get into some better memories. I don't want you to blow a gasket and start murdering people.
I'm not going to blow a gasket. I take medication for that.
Okay, well, what's the third game?
Sonic.
Oh, Sonic. We can talk about this one together.
We really can, because any gamer worth his salt can talk about Sonic.
Yes.
You know, he kind of transcends. He's like Mario. Everybody can talk about Mario.
Oh.
Everybody can tell you their experiences with, say, Pac-Man.
He's like Mario, but he's so not like Mario, too.
Oh, yeah. And that's where his problem stems, is that he's trying to take the game model that Mario kind of made his own, the platformer, and tries to add other elements to it, and it just doesn't work out.
Like turning into a werewolf or wielding a sword.
Yeah. Well, all of that's too weird for me. I always love Sonic through the first stage. Green Hill Zone, fantastic.
Hell yeah.
I love going through those stages because they're the perfect balance of speed and platforming.
Yep.
But then after Zone 1, that's where Sonic starts to fall apart.
It's like they got lazy. They're like, yeah, we put our heart into the first stage. Yeah, this game's going to be awesome. And they're like, oh, we can't do this for every level. It would take forever.
Right. Well, because, like I said, it's a perfect blend of jumping and running. But then, to try to add more challenge, they, you know, it's a platforming game, so they add more platforms and more precision jumping. And that's when he realized Sonic is kind of clunky. The only thing he really does well is run fast. And the further you go through these games, the slower he goes because of the levels.
Yep. I've said this before in one of my videos. I did a video on Rystar, and I said, you know, Sonic's slippery. He runs into things. It's not fun. I wanted to argue that Rystar was a far better platformer than Sonic.
Right.
And people thought I was joking, but I'm not joking. Like, Sonic is not a good platforming game,
no,
if you really think about it.
It's really not. I had more fun with, like, the 3D games because they lended themselves more towards running. But they were pretty clunky and glitchy and, you know, weren't the best executed games.
Oh, and they have not aged well. Like, if you go back and play Sonic Adventure, mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Not,
so it's
not what it used to be.
No. Sonic's one of those things, and it's really maddening because when you go back and play the older games, say you have no experience of what Sonic is and never played anything, and you played Sonic's 1 through 3, you would go, this game has a lot of awesome potential.
Yeah.
But that's the MO for Sonic, and that's the way it has been.
Yep, it definitely has.
So,
Sonic CD was the best one.
Yeah.
Easily.
Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom.
Golden Pipes.
Golden Pipe. Alright, what's the last game?
Last one, I'll end it on a good note. Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh.
Yeah. But of course I had to end it with something that had an RPG element to it.
Wait a minute, have we mentioned Final Fantasy yet?
No, we haven't.
No, we did, because you talked about comparing it to Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so the streak is alive. I just want to make sure.
Cool. Valkyria Chronicles, for those who haven't heard about it, it meshes RPG with tactics with third-person shooting. It's actually really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, and the story is basically World War II.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd like that. It's, I mean, the analogy is you're killing Nazis and saving Jews. That's what you're doing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Really fun game. I got stuck on a level and never got back to it because, like, I picked up other games. My girlfriend finished it, and I watched it, you know, top to bottom with her, so I could at least see what the story was. Story's not fantastic, but it's not bad either. Obviously, it's a JRPG. It's kind of typical, you know, hey, we're all happy, and we're singing, and friendship conquers all.
That's right. Was the main character an orphan that lost his memory?
No.
Okay. That's pretty typical.
Yeah, he was the son of a general, and he liked bugs.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. No, the game's really good. The gameplay is really cool. The leveling up doesn't matter as much as some other RPGs, so it's not like you can go and grind and become uber powerful and steamroll through the game. Which is kind of cool, because it, you know, that levels out the difficulty, and it is a very well done game, and I applaud them for trying something new with the gameplay, which is something that the gaming landscape struggles with, in that, you know, sometimes they don't branch out enough, sometimes they don't explore enough. This game, I mean, even though they're branching out by meshing stuff together, they're at least still trying something new, which is nice.
Yeah.
So that's my four memories.
Okay.
I tried ending it on a good note.
Well, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, mediocre is as good as it gets with Sega. That should be their next tagline.
Well, I wanted to mainly talk about my experience with the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Steven, I'm sure I've told you this before. If I haven't, I'm sorry. But I lived in Scotland between the ages of 5 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started my schooling there. Kind of, my earliest memories kind of start there. So, in Europe, Sega was the big thing. Like, mm-hmm. Nintendo was not that popular. So all my friends had Sega. Game Gear, Genesis, or Mega Drive. You know, whatever. So, obviously, when we moved back to the U.S., I was all hyped up to get a Sega Genesis. I was like, yes, I want a Sega. I don't even think I knew about Super Nintendo, or I didn't think it was as good as the Genesis. So we got the Genesis, and it was awesome. You know, played all the Sonic games, played Vector Man, and Comic Zone, and Streets of Rage, and Columns, and so kick-ass system. Well, then I have a neighbor, my best friend. He has a Super Nintendo, and he's like, oh, let's play some Super Nintendo. And let me tell you, Steven, I was blown away by the Super Nintendo. I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to admit that the Super Nintendo was better because I grew up a Sega fanboy. But it's true. Super Nintendo was a better system.
You had to come over to the light.
I had to. And, you know, I can admit it now. I think the Super Nintendo... And I've always had that feeling ever since then that it's like whatever Sega does, it's just not as good as what else is out there. Is that right. Is that bad of me to think that? But
no.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I still enjoy some Sega games, but I don't know. It's just like, it's just not as good as whatever else is out there. I did love the Dreamcast, though. That was a pretty cool system.
Yeah, I didn't have experience with the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast was good, but when they announced PS2, I knew, just like the Genesis, you know, there's something better coming along. It's going to die. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the typical feeling of Sega. Like, they're okay, but somebody came by and did it better.
Yep. And I still have my Game Gear, still have my Genesis, still play them, but it's just something about it.
Like, even, like, power-wise, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo were similar, but the Super Nintendo just made everything look more vibrant.
Super Nintendo, the only thing it didn't have over the Genesis was the resolution. The Genesis could put out a higher resolution.
Mm.
So some games looked a little crisper, I guess. But, like, graphic capabilities, the Super Nintendo won there. Sound, sound. Oh my god, the sound was way better on the Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo, I mean, just audio quality wise was fantastic because it had a Sony chipset inside of it, and it gave a really warm quality to all the sounds that it produced.
I'll give you a good example. I'm doing a video review on a game called Bob. It's called Bug Outer Space Bot. It's a game that came out for the Genesis and Super Nintendo. So someone recommended this game to me. It's like a side-scrolling shooter game. And so I got it for Genesis. And I was playing, I was like, God, the controls are really awkward. You know, the Genesis only has three buttons, so if I wanted to switch a weapon in the game, I had to press start and then select my weapon from the start menu.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, it kind of kills the tempo of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, all right. Let me check out the Super Nintendo version. So I go on YouTube and I'm looking at this at gameplay videos, and oh my god, it looks so much better. You can switch weapons with the L and R buttons. The sound sounds way better. The controls look like they actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and bought the Super Nintendo version, and it's true. It's way better.
Yeah, that's what's unfortunate about Sega. Like, that's the story of their lives.
Yeah. And I actually asked a question on my Facebook, like, what are some, besides Mortal Kombat, and as far as I know, the only reason Mortal Kombat was better on the Genesis was because of the blood.
Yeah.
Besides that, what other games are better? And somebody mentioned Aladdin, but Aladdin on the Super Nintendo and Aladdin on the Genesis are two completely different games.
Mm-hmm.
There are a whole bunch of others. Earthworm Jim was one, although Earthworm Jim, I thought, was just as good on Super Nintendo. Yeah. I think Sega's... It's a big nostalgia trip for me.
Right.
But, yeah, it's hard to find. Although, you know, I did like Vanquish. That was put out by Sega.
Vanquish, I did not know that.
Vanquish kicks ass.
Hmm.
Kick-ass game. You should go buy it. Right now.
I know, you right now?
Right, go leave the podcast right now and go buy it.
Okay. If the gaming store is closed, should I break in and grab it?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not gonna jump off the podcast because I want to finish it for our listeners. I'll contemplate it later.
And for me. You want to finish it for me?
Yes.
Because you care about me.
Yes.
I don't pay you, but you care.
Such forceful love, Norman.
Force. You're chained up right now doing this podcast.
I am. Yeah.
Don't call it's a for help.
Yeah, it's a metaphorical chain.
Well, anything else you want to add to our Sega memory, Steven?
No, I think we covered it. Like I said, it's just really unfortunate that, you know, the company just it can't stack up to whatever its competitors put out.
I know. Now we're not hating on Sega. We're just telling you how we feel.
Okay? Yeah, but my general feelings usually hate. So
I still like Sega, but they need to do better, and they need to give up on Sonic. I think it's time to put out something new.
Man up.
Well, that's it for the main topic. When we come back, our last three, and then we have an extra long email to read.
Yep.
So we'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Final Fantasy, the Level 7 podcast.
You almost slipped. You almost let everybody know our secret plan.
I know. We're going to be changing the name soon. I don't want people to know, though.
Big things coming.
All right, last three topics. The PS Vita is still struggling. In Japan, it was outsold by the 3DS by a 10-to-1 margin. The financial troubles of the system has been a common trend. It's not too late to save it, is it?
I don't know. I actually handled a Vita for the first time today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And? What'd you think?
So it looks gorgeous. And the touchscreen is actually pretty responsive, even though, like, I didn't use too many functions that used it. The analog sticks feel really good. And, like I said, I mean, it's a aesthetically pleasing system. I didn't like the speakers. I thought the speakers sucked because at full volume, I couldn't hear anything. And when you push the speakers up to full volume on any system, they're going to distort. So you have this quiet, distorted mess. I didn't like that.
Okay.
I played Rayman Origins on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Not for long. Just like half of the first level, just to see how the controls felt. And Rayman Origins kind of felt weird because you have to use the right button to run. And the face buttons and the shoulder buttons are way too close, in my opinion. And so it felt kind of uncomfortable. But the big thing was, like, it has a lot of, like, apps and applications. So it's trying to market itself as an entertainment hub.
Yeah, and it uses, like, 3G cell phone signals so you can take it on the go and get internet wherever.
Yeah, and now that stuff I don't care about. I've never really cared about. But I went through the PlayStation Store to see what it could offer gameplay-wise or gaming-wise, and there is nothing.
Yeah, not yet.
No. Well, like, I even tried looking, because, like, after getting it or after handling it, I'm like, well, let me see what the release schedule is. And, like, this year, so far, is going to be nothing.
Now, can't you... I thought you could download PSP games on there, like, instantly. Like, they're already all available.
Not all... Well, I would hope that's not all of them, because I went through that library pretty quick. But, like, I can see why it's having problems because of the releases, because there's nothing really to play. I think if they can still save it. They just have to have a really, really strong holiday season this year. Norm, the Xbox 720 is rumored to need a constant internet connection. This is thought to combat piracy in the used games market. Are we liking this?
Not really.
Yeah, a very big meh.
Yeah, I don't like this whole combat against used games. I'm kind of sick of...
Right.
I don't see what the problem is with used games. It's been going on for years. Why suddenly want to combat it? I mean...
Yeah, well, obviously the used game market has gotten much bigger since, like, when we were... we started gaming before there was a GameStop. We had to go to pawn shops and get stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously the market's gotten bigger, but I understand you... If you say, well, no, you can't buy stuff secondhand, then you're kind of... We've discussed this. That means you can't play the classics, if there are any classics that come out on this system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't... You know, you're ostracizing people who have, you know, tight budgets.
Yeah, I that's exactly... Like, I kind of live off buying used games.
Right.
Like, I only buy it new if A... it's a decent price, B, I really want it, or C, I want to support the whoever made it. Like, if it's a small company, yeah, I'll buy it new to support them. But, you know, now the thing about constant internet connection, that bugs me, because what if you don't have, what if you don't have internet? I know that's weird to think in this day and age, but what if you just want to play the game and you don't have internet?
Well, it's not too weird because it's, you know, the rumors are saying that it needs a constant internet connection. Norm, I know I'm not the only one who's been through this. The internet cuts out sometimes.
Yes, it does.
So if I need a constant internet connection, you tell me I'm not going to be able to get, you know, play the system or do whatever because I don't have an internet connection. That is silly to me.
All these rumors about the next gen systems are making me less and less enthusiastic to buy a next-gen system. That's why I'm holding out hope for the Wii U, because they are not saying anything about constant internet connection. They're not saying anything about locking out used games.
Yeah, hopefully it all works out for it. But hopefully this is just nasty rumors that.
And it's fully backwards compatible with Wii games.
Which means I'll be able to play Xenoblade Chronicles.
Finally. So, you know, Nintendo's doing stuff right.
Yeah.
Although that graphic thing does bother me. Gotta admit.
You're doing it right by looking at the past.
Yes. Double Dragon is getting a reboot. Okay. Double Dragon Neon has been announced for the Xbox Live Arcade this summer. Steven, are we looking at a golden release or a golden turd?
Ooh, if it is a turd, it'll be a shiny turd, because this is this game is based off of the neon graphics of the 80s.
All right.
Yeah, like it's all like very, very flamboyant.
Oh.
And they've been talking about releasing the Battletoads as DLC for this game.
Yes. Good idea.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of people happy. They're talking about looking towards Castle Crashers as inspiration. That's a good sign.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Hopefully it's not too derivative. Like I would like to see the mashup between Double Dragon and Castle Crashers. That'll be interesting.
They need to bring back Abobo.
Who's Abobo?
He's the big-headed guy you fight in Double Dragon.
Oh, they have names?
Yeah, Abobo is... Actually, someone just made a game with Abobo. It's called Abobo's Big Adventure, I think. It's a Flash game. You should check it out, because it he mashes up with all these classic games. It's pretty cool. But yeah, Double Dragon's good memory for me. I enjoyed playing it on the Nintendo. Although I didn't like it. It wasn't co-op. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know. That was kind of...
The original one was not co-op. But,
it's an odd game to see get a reboot.
It is. It's like, where did this come from? Were people, like, clamoring for Double Dragon to come back?
No, they weren't. But they have to have online for this, though.
Oh, if they don't, well, that would be a huge golden turd.
Yeah, it would be an astronomical turd. Because there are games like Scott Pilgrim, which is a very good game, but there's no online. And the online is the function that would put it above the rest. So hopefully they learn, like they saw that game and saw that mistake, and they're going to learn from it.
By the way, there was a Double Dragon live-action movie.
There was?
I believe so, yeah, there was.
I learned all kinds of new stuff.
So maybe we'll watch it together.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to meet up this summer. We're going to watch Double Dragon live-action movie.
Yes. Yeah, came out in 1994. Double Dragon movie.
We're watching this.
That might be our next main topic.
What did you think of the movie? And it's just us putting our microphones down. That's what we thought about it.
Steven, let's get to this giant email.
DeVail! DeVail is here!
Ooh!
Yeah. So this one's from Kevin Christman, who is our number one fan from Germany. He's emailed us before.
Number one fan from Germany, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's Austrian, sorry.
Yeah, that's clearly...
I don't want to stereotype. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not stereotyping if you're getting the wrong accent.
Okay.
So... This one's pretty long, but it has a lot of questions in it, so I kind of got to read it. Hey, Norm. Hey, Steven. After listening to the new episode of your podcast, I wanted to write you again. First, to Steven. Yay. I had burritos on the day I listened to your podcast, and I love sour cream, too, so here's a tip. Mix the sour cream with salsa sauce. It tastes really delicious.
Ugh.
It became my favorite dip for tortilla chips, too, because it's just so damn good.
Ugh.
If you tasted it, I would love to hear your opinion.
No.
I can't give my opinion on sour cream and salsa.
Well, go ahead, but I'm not interested.
Okay, good. This is just me and Kevin talking then.
All right.
Yeah, Kevin, I haven't had salsa and sour cream before. Salsa's an okay condiment to me. Sour cream for me is where it's at.
Oh my god, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'd rather mix it with maybe a little bit of taco sauce. Anyway, he goes on. So, the gaming related stuff. Since this podcast often talks about Final Fantasy, he's helping us keep the streak alive.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a question which fits in very well, because I didn't play that many JRPGs until lately. I didn't play many Final Fantasy games, but I really enjoyed Final Fantasy 8 and 10 when they were released.
Oh, yeah. 8 is,
the only one I completed and played a lot. I love it a lot. You guys often talk about the old and the new ones, but except for naming Squall in the last episode, Final Fantasy VIII never was mentioned, so I want to know your opinion about this game. This could be a main topic.
It certainly could, because you and I might argue about this.
We really could. I think Final Fantasy VIII is kind of a subpar game.
I think it's one of the best Final Fantasies.
Yeah, see, this... I finished it top to bottom.
So did I.
Yeah. Well, you took it a little bit further because you beat Omega Weapon. I didn't beat Omega Weapon.
I went all the way. I even played the card game.
I collected them all.
I got Fat Chocobo and beat everybody.
Okay, now I didn't beat everybody, but I got all the cards I wanted. After the experience, I do have a game. I recently started the game again to see if my perception has changed.
What did you name Squall?
I wanted to name him Asshat in memory of you, Norm.
Oh, thank you.
But I just kind of wanted to dive into the game, so I didn't do it. So
name him Tits. Tits McGee.
So we really could go on and on and go bullet point by bullet point on Final Fantasy VIII.
You know what, Steven? Let's do it. Next week, Final Fantasy VIII.
Are we going to work it in?
Well, that's going to be our main topic. Let's do it. Give us time to write essays. And
you're the boss, man. So with that, Kevin, hopefully you'll hear more about this in the future. But that's our base opinions.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to do the email. Lately, I played a cool Pokemon fan game called Pokemon Raptor. So because of that, I want to ask you if you have any fan games that you like. I don't.
Fan games.
I'm not a big fan of user or fan generated content with things. I used to play hacks when I was younger. Little ROM hacks here and there.
Now what defines a fan game? Like is it literally just like a game that's been modified by a fan and turns it into a different game?
I would think so. That's what I'm defining it as.
The closest I've come to that is like mods, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I've used realism mods in some strategy games, mm-hmm. and shooter games. I've added it to add, you know, to make it more realistic, but that's about it. I don't really have a lot of experience with fan games.
Yeah, same here. And
oh, you know that? No, I guess that doesn't count as a fan game. Never mind.
What?
There's a game a guy made recently. He made an NES game called Battle Kid. But that's not really a fan game, is it? I mean, because it's its own creation. It's not based on anything.
Yeah, I mean, because the way he's talking about it, since he did play Pokemon Raptor, it makes it seem to me he's talking about mods.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, I don't
have a lot of experience.
Yeah, and the experience I have, I'm not too big of a fan. I think the professionals should stick to the professional work. We continue. I totally understand that you guys don't have the time to make articles and podcasts every week, and I'm thankful for everything that I've gotten. But I want to know if the podcast is scheduled every 2 weeks, or if you two try to get together every week if you got time for the podcast. Yeah, just completely busting our balls.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a weekly podcast.
Yes, and we plan it for every week, but
yeah,
sometimes Steven has to work, or sometimes I have to work.
Yeah, and sometimes life just in general kicks our ass.
And we're just like, F it.
Yeah.
Let's just play our Wiis. Oh, wait. You can't.
Ha. Yeah. Well, I can play my PS3.
Oh. Who owns a PS3? Exactly.
Oh,
who owns one of those?
I know somebody on this podcast who doesn't own one.
Oh, I'm going to go cry now.
Calling you out, Caruso.
Go cry.
Yeah.
Rock so back and forth.
We do try to put it out every week. And if, like, you know, if we don't get it out every week, it's because life life's pretty hard for two young gentlemen trying to make it out in the world.
Yeah, we're waiting for IGN to pick us up and pay us $1 million an episode.
Yeah, and then we'll I'll give it to you every 30 minutes after that.
Yeah, hell yeah. And now it's time for your hourly podcast.
Yeah. Be great.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, what's for dinner?
We are having pork and stuffing.
Stuffing. I'm having a leftover Easter dinner. So that should be delicious. Got some ham, mashed potatoes, some biscuits.
Oh. Yeah, see, we never... I'm a get into my personal life a little bit. I never really even knew there was an Easter dinner until this year.
Whoa. Where have you been?
Eating Easter candy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of done with the candy thing. I'm over it.
Yeah. Done. Girlfriend one asked me, she honestly asked me this, if I wanted to paint eggs on Easter.
Did you just laugh in her face?
I did.
Wow.
Because we have an adult relationship.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Tune in next week when we argue about Final Fantasy VIII.
The epic battle that shall never end.
And actually, it might be in 2 weeks. You never know with us.
Exactly.
But until then, take care.